Blog Talk Radio.
Lori Smith. This is One Child Abuse Survivor to Another Restoration. Glad to be here. It's Monday night, 10 p.m., September the 16th, 2019. Same place, same time. And I'm glad to be here. And hopefully you're all doing okay. I just appreciate everybody who's been tuning into my shows. And I don't know who all of you are, like I say, on all my shows, but I do appreciate it. And hopefully you're getting something out of this material. And I'm sorry I missed my show last weekend, or actually last Monday. I was going to do it on the weekend. I was sort of planning to pick that one up at some point, but I had caught a cold, and I'm just kind of getting over that. So it's been a harsh week of just kind of, you know, working and sick and not feeling all that great. So tonight I'm actually feeling pretty good, so I'm glad to be back. And we're just looking at this article that I found at HAVOCA, HAVOCA, Help for Adult Victims of Child Abuse, HAVOCA.org. And it's under their Information for Survivors tab, and you can go there and look under their section dealing with boundaries, and that's what we're looking at. It's a good article. I think it's really well done. Some of it really didn't pertain to me, and I didn't relate to it, but some of it I do. And the stuff we're looking at tonight is definitely helpful. This is picking up towards the bottom of the article, really way down towards the bottom of the article. We're in the last section of it. This is tips for setting boundaries. And this stuff's really interesting for me because I need all the tips I can get for setting boundaries. I really do, because I generally don't express my needs. And then when my needs aren't met, then problems arise. And then I usually shut the person out or quit the job or walk away or whatever it is, because I'm not going to allow anybody to mistreat me, see? So I don't get my needs met, but then I don't state my needs either. And so I'm learning how to do this, right? And it's difficult, and it's hard for survivors of abuse of any type to learn what healthy boundaries are and that we should set them. We should know what our needs are and how we want to be treated and, you know, how we're going to treat other people and respect other people's boundaries and learn how to get our boundaries respected as well, right? So it's so important. And this is just stuff that we have to learn, right? If we weren't shown any proper boundaries as children and abused children, I mean, this is an issue, right? I mean, boundaries are crossed in every way. And there is just no boundaries, you know, for an abused child, right? I mean, in my situation, anybody could come and do anything they wanted to me. And there wasn't going to be any help for me, you know. So all the boundaries were crossed there. So it's tough. It's hard. But we have rights, you know, we have the right to be treated decently, you know, with the same human dignity that everyone deserves, you know, so it's just so important to learn this stuff. So that's what we're looking at tonight. And, you know, if you're a survivor of abuse and you're just starting your healing journey and you're just not sure if you're safe enough to be listening to this show or anything like this, you want to make sure that you're safe enough. And if you're not sure what even that, what is that, you know, safe enough, you know, it's, a, you know, so that you don't be triggered by this information or any information like this from anybody else's show or mine or anybody else's, you know, you want to make sure that you can handle listening to this sort of stuff without being triggered and going backward in your healing journey or hurting yourself or hurting somebody else. Get that information. You can find that from many places, but ASCA, Adult Survivors of Child Abuse, a more center program, has a Survivor to Thriver workbook, and it's free. You can read it right online, or you can download it or whatever, and I think you can even purchase it, but I mean, it's free. It's for anybody who wants it. You can just get it right there from their website. And the first chapter is called Safety First, and it's really important to learn, you know, to recognize whether or not you are safe enough to be listening to something like this so you won't be triggered, right? If you're not sure, just turn the show off. You won't be hurting my feelings at all. And if you're anybody else, you know, I'm talking about abuse. Very, very sensitive topic. Makes a lot of people uncomfortable. And so you have to make sure that, you know, you're the only one who can determine whether you should be listening or not. So if you feel like the topics of abuse or violence or any type of abuse, this kind of stuff is going to bother you, then you have to turn the show off. You won't be hurting my feelings at all. So we're going to get right into it. Tips for setting boundaries. This is interesting. It's just short little snippets that they've put here. They don't go into describing or, you know, talking about it too much, but it's just right to the point. We'll look at the first one. Anger, rage, complaining, whining, and feeling threatened or suffocated or victimized are clues to boundaries you need to set. So, for instance, if I'm feeling anger or rage or I'm complaining or I'm whining or feeling threatened, feeling suffocated or victimized, you know, feeling victimized, then that's a clue that I haven't set a boundary with someone, you know, whether it's my whoever it is in my life. It could be anybody. It could be a coworker. It could be a boss. It could be a family member. You know what I mean? It could be anybody. A friend, neighbor, whatever. I mean, anybody who's in our life that all of a sudden I'm complaining because I don't like the way this person's behaving or I'm feeling threatened by this person or suffocated, victimized, you know, anger, rage coming on. That's a clue that a boundary needs to be set. So that's interesting. It says, when you identify a need to set a boundary or a limit with someone, do it clearly, preferably without anger, and in as few words as possible. Now, that's interesting because this is something that I just learned actually last weekend from a lady that I was working with, and I was explaining this horrible situation I had with one of my bosses. Actually, I've had several bosses scream at me and yell at me, which is really sad because it wasn't really my fault. But and they admitted to it later. One of them did anyway, that it was her fault. But she was screaming at me anyway. But this is my life, you know. I mean, I have strangers, like complete strangers, will come up and slap me in the face, and then they laugh. And I'm like, do I just have like this sign on my back that says go ahead and abuse me? Like, it's okay to go ahead and just stomp on me or something? I just don't get it. But whatever it is, you know, it's obviously evil, and it just pisses me off. But I consider all abuse evil because it really is. And so this lady I was talking to, she's a therapist, and I was telling her a little bit about this situation with one of these bosses that I had that was screaming at me and yelling and throwing fits, you know, and just making me really uncomfortable because, you know, I was abused as a child, and I just don't need that from a boss. And I thought that was very inappropriate behavior. And she said, yeah, definitely. That person obviously has a problem. But she said, you know, you could have stopped it in about 5 seconds. And I said, really, how? And she said, well, you have to set a boundary, and you have to really clearly, without anger, she said it almost the same way it's written here, hold up your hand and just in a clear tone, just say, please stop screaming at me. When you stop screaming at me, we can have an intelligent conversation. And it shuts them down. And I was like, oh, awesome. I was like, well, I need to learn how to do that. Because I was abused as a child, man. I wasn't allowed to say anything, you know, ever. I'd be beaten. Actually, I did used to say stuff, but it would catch me some beatings. But the issue is out of respect, you know, for these bosses that I've had in the past, you know, I don't say anything because I'm trying to be respectful, see? But that's ridiculous to allow somebody to treat us like that. In any situation, it's just wrong. And, you know, they go on to, we'll pick up, we'll just keep going here. There's some really good stuff here. He says, you cannot simultaneously set a limit with someone and also take care of their feelings. They may be hurt, angry, or disappointed with you. Too bad. That's what I say. If somebody's doing something that we, that is absolutely not okay for us, you know, and we say something about it to set a limit with someone, and they get disappointed or angry or hurt by it, that's too bad, because that's their problem then. They need to deal with it. It's just the same as us. Somebody, if we're stepping over the limit, you know, we're crossing boundaries that we shouldn't with somebody, and they, you know, call us out on it, and they say, look, you know, that's really, you know, going, you know, stepping over the boundaries for me. You need to, you know, I'd like for you to do this and this and this or whatever, you know what I mean? Whatever it is that they'd like us to do, and we become angry or hurt by it or disappointed with them, it's the same thing, right? It's wrong. People have the right to get their needs met, you know? So if somebody's doing something that's not okay, we have the right to stand up for ourselves, right? This is so important. It says, when you first begin to set boundaries, you may feel ashamed and afraid. Be prepared to follow through by acting in congruence with the boundaries you set. You'll be tested when you set boundaries. And some people are happy to respect your boundaries. Obviously, some people would be, but other people wouldn't be, right? A support system can be helpful as you strive to establish and enforce boundaries. And you'll set boundaries when you're ready and not a minute sooner. There's a satisfying side to setting boundaries. It feels good. So that's interesting, for sure. This is when you first start begin to set boundaries, you may feel ashamed and afraid. Well, yeah, because of the consequences, right? Just like that person who wrote this article had said earlier in the article that, you know, once they were afraid to set boundaries out of a fear that they would lose their friend or their friends, you know, whoever they set these boundaries with, right? That's a fear-based thing. Feeling ashamed, that's another one. It's as if, well, I guess, you know, my needs aren't that important, you know. I should be ashamed of myself for setting these, you know, for suggesting that so-and-so not do this or that, right? Because obviously, as a survivor of abuse, you know, we so often run ourselves down into the ground and say, our needs are not important, it doesn't matter what I need, everybody else's needs comes first, you know. It's that whole role-playing thing that we were made to play as victims of abuse, you know, that we're lesser than, lower than, our needs are not important, it's okay. You know, it's not okay. It's not okay that our needs were not met as children or even anybody else who's been abused in any situation. It's not okay. And we don't have to be ashamed or feel ashamed that we have needs. I go through this struggle all the time, you know, both of those, ashamed and fear-based stuff, because of the abuse that I suffered as a child. And, you know, now as an adult and an older woman, you know, I mean, literally just thinking about getting my needs met is just crazy for me to think that, oh, well, you know, I could go do this, this, and this and get my needs met, but, you know, why bother? I don't matter. I don't count. You know, that's my old, that old way of thinking, right? It's just always there, and I have to fight against it all the time. And it's kind of, you know, it's frustrating for sure. But we do. We have the right to get our needs met. And I know this as an adult. Like, I'm a fully kind of functioning adult. I know these things, but I don't enforce them for myself, you know. I'll have other people tell me, well, you know, you need to do this and that, you know, and get your needs met. And I'm like, I understand what they're saying, but in the back of my mind, I'm like, yeah, but you know how embarrassing it is to have to, like, go and actually get something done about this stuff? You know, for me, it's embarrassing because a lot of this stuff is stemming from the abuse, right? So I'm like, wow, you know, then there's the whole judgmental stuff, right? Then they're going to judge me, you know, or whatever. You know, whatever these issues are. Things that will hold us back, you know, because we are survivors of abuse, you know, things that would hold us back from getting our needs met. You know, nobody's holding holding me back now except for myself, you know, and the learned horrible behaviors that I've learned as a growing up abused, you know. So it's really difficult. It is. But they said, you know, you'll set boundaries when you're ready, not a minute sooner. There's a satisfying side to setting boundaries. It feels good. I think so. And I think, you know, as long as it's not, you know, I'm not, this is healthy boundaries. Yeah. If we're just setting boundaries to set boundaries, then people aren't going to want to hang around with you too long. It's kind of like, I wouldn't hang around with somebody who just steady manipulates boundaries just to get the practice in. It's like, this has to be real serious stuff. It's kind of like, if somebody's, for instance, here's examples of setting boundaries, and I think this is really important. That's why I don't want to miss this tonight. They say here, you don't have a right to tell. This is an example of setting a boundary. You don't have a right to tell me what to think or invalidate my feelings. Like, that's really important. We have the right to say that to somebody. If somebody's invalidating our feelings or thinking that they have the right to tell us what to think and how to think and what, you know, tell us, have the right to enforce things on us, you know what I mean, or invalidate our feelings, we have the right to tell them. You don't have a right to tell me what to think or to invalidate my feelings. Absolutely, because I don't have the right to go invalidating somebody else's feelings. You know what I mean? It's like, so why would somebody think they have the right to do that to me? I think these are really good. Here's another one. Don't vent your anger on me. I won't have it. That's awesome. That's the one that I need to learn for these angry bosses. I always end up working for these really lame people, which is really sad. Not my bosses right now, which I won't mention who they are, but I've got bosses right now that I think are really sweet. But a lot of bosses that I've had in the past have been terrible. Really terrible, terrible people. And the problem being is they're just so stressed out, and they hate their job, and they probably hate their life, and they're just miserable, so they take it out on their staff, and I think that's just wrong. But the thing is I need to learn this one. Don't vent your anger on me. I won't have it. Yes, that's right. How about another one? This is mine. You don't have a right to use it as yours. This is mine. You don't have a right to use it as yours. I mean, I suppose that's an important one, you know? It depends on what it is. Kind of like, this is my remote, you get your own remote, you know, to the TV. It's just kind of, to me, it's, I don't care about stuff. I've never really cared about stuff. Things, so I don't worry about things like that. If somebody's using my stuff, it's there, so it's like, whatever, you can have it. Like, I don't care. I am not into stuff, period. But I never have been into things or stuff. You know, like, whatever. I'm more interested in the heart issues, right? And here's another one. I won't accept your belittling jokes, your criticism, or your condescending attitude toward me. So this is stuff that we can tell people. You know, if somebody's belittling us, you know, cracking jokes, making us feel bad about ourselves or whatever, criticizing us, you know, condescending attitude toward us, we have a right to tell them that. I won't accept your belittling jokes, your criticism, or your condescending attitude toward me. That's right. Here's another one. I won't be disrespected. If you won't respect me, then stay away. That's really important. And I mean, I don't, you know, you earn respect, right? I mean, I don't think people should just automatically just respect everybody. As far as human rights go, that's universal. I mean, everybody should respect everybody's human rights, but if somebody's going to treat me horribly, I'm not going to respect them, you know? So this only, it works both ways. If I'm treating somebody with respect and dignity, I expect that back. So yeah, if I'm treating somebody with total respect and total, you know, regard for their feelings, and then I expect that back. And if they don't give it to me, then, you know, I should have the right to say, if you won't respect me, then stay away. You know? That's very important. And here's another one. Keep your hands off me. That's a big one. And, you know, that's just big for me because I was abused physically as a child by both my parents and my brother. But that's kind of good for anyone. Keep your hands off me. And especially with domestic violence stuff. My mom used to tell that to my dad, and he'd just beat her up anyway. I remember saying that to him. Keep your hands off me. And then that'd be it, man. It'd be all over her, you know. Whoa, you know. Now, if I would have said, keep your hands off me, to my mother, then she would have probably killed me. She did. She did attempt that a few times, but it didn't work. Keep your hands off me. As an adult, we definitely have the right to say that. And it's very, very important to learn that. I know that myself, you know. I absolutely do not let anyone touch me that I don't, that's not okay for me, you know, that I don't let them know that it's okay that they touch me. You know what I mean? I rarely have people actually touch me, period. You know what I mean? Just like friends or anybody like come up and just touch me for whatever reason. I really don't like it. You know what I mean? I was abused as a child in every way, and I don't particularly like people just touching me. I'm not a touchy person. I mean, I'm not like one of these touchy-feely kind of, oh, let me put my arms around you sort of thing. I didn't grow up like that. I grew up abused harshly, and I was never hugged or held. And so for me, people touch me, I get a little creeped out, you know, so I'm not used to it. But sometimes I crave it. You know, I crave loving touches and loving kindness, you know. But as far as that goes, I mean, I have no problem telling people to keep their hands off me. It's like, you know, as an adult, absolutely, man. It's like, keep your distance, you know. I don't allow people to get that close to me normally. Stop doing that. Here's another one. Stop doing that or I'll leave or I'll report you, file charges, etc. That's really important in a relationship. You know, we have the right, if somebody's doing something that is completely overstepping boundaries, especially abusive behavior, violence, you know, becoming assaulting, you know, physically assaulting or whatever, it's a necessity, man, you know, to get help. And sometimes, you know, as DV survivors, you know, they can't say stop that or I'll leave, because then the abusive person in the relationship ends up killing them because they've threatened to leave. So that only works, you know, sometimes maybe. You got to be very, very careful about that sort of stuff. So if you're a DV survivor, and you know, or if you're a person who's in domestic violence right now, get some help. But also get a safety plan. That's the most important thing you can do. Just go to the domestic violence websites and get a safety plan. Learn how to do it properly. And be careful about going to the safety, the domestic DV websites. Because, you know, if your abusive partner tracks you, they can kill you for that too. I've done a lot of looking in on domestic violence. Well, my parents were involved in, that was the main issue. My parents were always fighting, you know, and, you know, it just spilled on over to us, you know. So it's not like my parents were this loving couple and they just abused all their children. My parents hated each other, wanted to kill each other, and actually were always trying to kill each other and or threatening to. And it was always a concern that one of them would kill the other. And I was kind of thinking my mom would kill my dad in a self-defense type thing. Or just because she just couldn't deal with him anymore, you know, like no more abuse, right? And I thought, one day she's just going to kill him, you know? And then I thought, no, maybe my dad's going to kill my mom one day, because my mom, you know, he's always beating on her and she was sick and horrible, 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 right? But they could have gotten out. They could have changed all that. You know, this is the issue. But they didn't want to. They just wanted to continue their garbage. And it's just like, oh, I mean, this is why I keep speaking out against this stuff. It's absolutely ridiculous and horrific that people stay in this. Don't do it, man. I know when I got together with my deceased husband now, who's now deceased a year ago, and I just love him and miss him so much, I didn't trust him for a second, even though I wanted this relationship with him, but I was like, man, you know, like, what if he starts beating on me? I'm not going to put up with that, you know? Like, I just didn't trust, I have a hard time trusting people. That's just because of the way I grew up. And it's like, not everybody's an abuser, right? But you just don't know, right? People have the potential. So I made sure to tell my husband who was, you know, who's gone now, you know, after a few blowouts that we had, I made sure to tell him about all of the abuse, you know. And I was like, I can't, you know, if we're not going to be good to each other, we don't need to be in this relationship. You know, if you're just going to be abusive to me, and or if I'm going to be abusive to you, we don't need to do this. Because I've already done that my whole flipping life. I'm tired of it. You know, and I set some boundaries there with him, you know. And he was like, I would never hit you. I would never push you around or beat on you. And I was just like, I believed him. But he proved it. You know, he proved himself to be true. He never was unkind. He never, you know, did anything to, you know, even though we had our little spats, he was good to me, you know. There's not very many out there that are like that, you know, that aren't violent in some way. It's just horrific. I'm tired of violence, man. I'm so sick and tired of violence. And it bothers me that society loves violence, loves it, and loves the charge and the excitement. And it's like, you've got to be kidding. The charge and the excitement of getting your head slammed into a wall, you know, getting your nose busted and you're ending up in ER, you know, being raped. I mean, this is horrific. And people sit there and act like it's like it's just so great. Just watch the videos and watch the movies and watch society. It's really disgusting. You know, so you be careful about the relationships you get into. That's all I can say, because that's what I do. Be very careful. And, you know, don't just jump at friendships. I don't care who it is. Friendships, relationships, you know, whatever. Find good people who are going to treat you with respect and dignity and kindness, right? That's what I do, because I refuse to be abused anymore. That's ridiculous. I'm not going to be abused my whole entire life. That's what my mother did, right? No, I'm not doing that. So this is, if we're going to have a working relationship, here's another one. I need honesty, respect, and equality. I like that. That's awesome. Here's another. We only have about 5 minutes left. Here's another one. I need to communicate when we have a misunderstanding. So that's good. That's a really important one. Just to be able to say, I need to communicate when we have a misunderstanding. And if they're not open to that, man, they're not worth being around, whoever this is, you know, whether it's a partner, friend, whatever, you know. And here's another one. I need openness and sharing in a relationship. Your withholding is making our relationship unsatisfying to me. So these are examples, right? But they're good examples. And this is the kind of stuff that we can really study. You know, I'm just going over them quickly here in a half an hour. The issue is I could go through and I could really study those and repeat them, you know, several times and learn that, wow, yeah, I do have a right to protect my boundaries and I do need to set boundaries. And sometimes, you know, I need to make sure that I let somebody know that I need to be able to communicate. Because without that, what do you have, you know? It's the relationship breaks down. So it's so important, right? We've only got a few minutes left here. Let's see. Yeah, we've only got about 2 minutes left, so I don't want to start the next part. There's one section, actually two sections left. Personal boundaries, how to maintain them. You can go read this on their website. This is Havoca, Havoca, Havoca.org. And then in the last part of it is affirmations of your basic rights. That's a good one. So we'll be sure and look at that the next time. I have the show set up next week. Should be back next Monday night. Same time, same place. I'm not sure what time I have on there, 11:30, but it'll probably be 10 o'clock. I'm just going to 10 or 10:30, somewhere right around the same time. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in. I appreciate it. Whatever you do, you take care of yourself. You know, like I say on every show, if you're struggling, you're having a hard time, and you don't know what you're going to do, and you can't even figure out how you're going to keep going, because I know, because I've been there, you know, I've been down to the edge in the pit, and it was serious. So many times, it's not even funny. You know, you have to reach out. You have to get help. Don't suffer on your own. Absolutely do not suffer on your own. Reach out anonymously. There's tons of anonymous websites out there. You don't even have to give your name, your real name. You can get help, right? And if you can't find that stuff, call a crisis hotline, you know? Call a NASCA member. That's who I volunteer with. I'm the Alberta Ambassador for NASCA, NAASCA, National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. Get a hold of somebody. Make a phone call or get online. But you stick it out, because I'm telling you, every day that we wake up is a slap in our abusers' faces. Have a great night, everybody, and we'll talk to you next week.